Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid at 5-6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This is a story that leaves you wondering. It leaves you going, could something else be at play here? At least for me it does. And probably if you are a follower of true crime stories, this is one of those where you might need to wait till the second or third commercial break in the Dateline episode before you finally see the turn and go, oh, but right now we don't have that turn. We don't know yet. We just know there's a lot of information in this giant puzzle board that's been dumped out all over the table, and we're not quite sure where those pieces go or even if all of the pieces of the puzzle fit into that specific puzzle because somebody mixed the puzzle pieces together. Didn't you hate that when you were a kid? Anyway, let's get into this because there's a lot to cover, and I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or on our new Substack. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to join us there. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts, Apple Podcasts specifically. If you could leave us a review, that'd be great. So December 3rd, 2025, deputies in Sebastian County, Arkansas, responded to a welfare check at a home in Bonanza. I know. It's like you're either picturing the 1970s and 80s buffet restaurant or you're thinking of the television show. This is a small town in Arkansas. Kind of a combination of both, really. A town of about 600 people, where according to the local police chief, everybody knows everybody and most folks still leave their doors unlocked. There, they found Charity Bialis, 40 years old, and her six-year-old twins, Elena and Maverick, dead from gunshot wounds. The day before, Charity had been in court for what was supposed to be the final hearing in her divorce from Dr. Randall Bialis, a family physician that she'd accused of strangling her in front of those same children 9 months earlier. Doesn't look good now, does it? She'd spent those 9 months fighting for sole custody. She lost. The court awarded Randall joint custody on December 2nd, less than 24 hours after he was awarded joint custody. She and her twins were dead. Now, here is where most of the coverage of this case stops and draws a straight line. We're not going to do that, but I'm going to talk about it for a second. Because, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty bad. It looks like, oh, we know what happened here. And I don't think we do. So the coverage that you may have seen out there, we have abusive husband, dead wife, system failure. And who knows? Maybe that's exactly what happened. But when you pull the court records, the police reports, the documented history of everyone involved, including Charity, what you find is something far more complicated. You find two people, both with histories of violence, accusations, and pure and utter chaos, locked in a fight over two children. And one of them allegedly confessed to a previous killing.
And it ain't anybody who's still alive. It's her. This isn't a story with a clear villain. This is a story where almost everybody seems to have blood on their hands, and the only people who didn't deserve any of this are the 2 6-year-olds who ended up in the ground. Let's start with what we actually know happened, okay? According to reports, allegedly December 2nd, 2025, Charity and Randall appear in Sebastian County Circuit Court. And according to Randall's attorney, the court awards him joint custody of the twins at this hearing. For Charity, this was a loss. She'd filed for divorce in March, requested sole custody, cited the alleged strangulation. She told a state senator she feared for her life. She posted on Facebook that the system was protecting the criminal, a local doctor. And after all of that, the court said she had to share those kids with him. December 3rd, Charity allegedly requested an emergency hearing. She didn't show up. Someone calls in a welfare check. Workers at the home let deputies inside. 3 bodies. Gunshot wounds. No signs of forced entry reported. No suspect name. No arrest made. That same day, Charity's father, Randall Powell, calls the judge who oversaw the divorce and, according to court documents, tells her she might as well have pulled the trigger herself and that the court has blood on its hands. Then December 4th, 1 day after the bodies are found, Randall's attorney, this is her husband, because the divorce was never quite finalized, Randall being the person who was with her. I know it's confusing. There's a Randy and a Randall. Randy is Charity's father. Randall is the what would soon to be ex-husband. Randall's attorney files a motion to dismiss the divorce. The logic is simple. If the divorce wasn't finalized, he's not an ex-husband. He's a widower. That matters for the estate. That matters for the house. That matters for who controls what happens next. So that's our rough timeline of what's going on here. Now, let's talk about the people involved, because this is where it gets rather uncomfortable. Randall Bialas, this was the soon-to-be ex-husband, or was soon-to-be ex-husband, now forever technically a widower because the divorce wasn't finalized. Randall Bialas is a family physician who'd been licensed in Arkansas for nearly 2 decades. In February of 25, he was arrested after allegedly strangling Charity in front of their children. He was initially charged with aggravated assault on a family member, domestic battery, and 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a minor. And by October, those charges had been pled down to a single count of third-degree domestic battery, a misdemeanor. He got a suspended sentence, a $1,500 fine, and a no-contact order. This wasn't his first troubled marriage. His second wife, Shauna Bialas, died on January 5th of 2012 of a gunshot wound to the forehead. That one ruled a suicide. But wait, there's more. When police arrived at the home that day, Randall answered the door and said she killed herself. Officers noted the home looked out of order, a plant knocked over, the coffee table out of place, cardboard boxes scattered like someone was packing to leave. There was a suicide note. There was a wine bottle in a glass on the kitchen table. Remember that. Randall told police that Shauna threatened suicide almost monthly. He said he'd previously replaced the live rounds in her gun with plastic dummy rounds. She found out, got so upset, went to Walmart and bought real bullets. Surveillance footage and receipts confirm that that actually happened. He said he spent 4 hours talking her down, got a headache, thought she was calm, and went back to work. He ignored 2 calls from her because he was angry. When he came home, she was dead. That's the story. After the interview, according to police reports, Randall asked for his phone so he could call his lawyer to stop divorce papers from being sent in the mail. 2 times now in one's life. The odds are like, they die. Stop the divorce proceedings. Now, that doesn't mean he did anything. It may mean he may have really horrible choice in relationships and surround himself with chaos and all of that. Or it could mean other things. We don't know. We just don't know. No one knows. No one's been charged with anything as of right now. But you got to look at those optics and go, that's a little fishy, dude. Not to say it's impossible, but it does feel a little weird. The evidence from that case was destroyed in 2014 by court order. Toxicology was never completed. The case was reopened briefly in 2021 after new information came to light, then closed again. So that's Randall. Now let's talk about charity, because this is the part of the story that almost nobody is covering. In February of 2021, Bonanza Police Officer Stephanie Hill responded to an incident at the Bialis home. As part of that investigation, she interviewed Charity's father, Randy Powell. According to the police report, and there's body cam footage of this conversation, Powell told Officer Hill that Charity had confessed to him. According to that report, he said she told him she is the one who shot Shauna, and that she was glad the detectives did not fingerprint a wine glass that she had been drinking out of while she was at their residence. That's in a police report. Charity's own father allegedly told police his daughter confessed to killing Randall's previous wife. Now, when media started covering this case after Charity's death, Randy walked back on that. He told reporters he never said his daughter was involved, only that she knew who did it. But the police report says otherwise, and there's body cam footage, too. And the statement itself is a little weird. She knew who did it? Well, of course, if it was an unaliving of someone's self, pretty clear who that was, right? Or is it? This wasn't the only time Charity was allegedly involved in firearm violence. In August of 2013, 9 months after her first divorce from Randall, she was arrested for aggravated assault with a firearm. And according to a Times Record article from that date, she allegedly pointed a gun at a man's chest. The address listed in the arrest matches the Dunston Drive property associated with Randall. Same address where Shauna had died less than 2 years earlier. And then there's her relationship with her first son, John. In 2013, Charity's own father, the same man now on television demanding justice for her, petitioned the court for custody of John. According to allegations in those custody filings, the child would be in grave danger in her care, would be subjected to mental and physical abuse, and feared for his own safety. A judge ordered Charity's medical records released because her medical problems could place the minor child in danger. Those are the allegations. The specific allegations in those filings are disturbing. Charity allegedly told her child she didn't want to do anything or didn't want anything to do with him anymore, basically. She allegedly threatened him. According to allegations documented in the custody proceedings, she allegedly picked the lock on the bathroom door while her then 13-year-old son was using the facilities and allegedly recorded him. And those filings suggest this happened more than once. At one point during the custody proceedings, Charity reportedly stated she would rather John go to the Department of Human Services than live with her father. Chaos galore. If any of that is true. Fast forward to May of 2020, John 17, he gets into a disagreement with Charity and Randall. That same day, both of them, Charity and Randall, take knives or some sort of sharp object and slash the tires on his truck while holding infant twins. Those two, unfortunately. Yeah. There is video of Charity holding one, slashing tires, of Randall holding one, slashing tires. If you've seen the video, it's disturbing. It's not the behavior of healthy individuals. John, the son, recorded all this. He went to police. Here's what's interesting about the charges. Randall was charged with criminal mischief. Charity was charged with criminal mischief plus aggravated assault on a family member. She got the violent charge. He didn't. Charity's charges were worse than Randall's, her husband at the time. John successfully sued for emancipation from both of them. So when we're looking at this case, we're not looking at a clear victim and a clear perpetrator. We're looking at two people with documented histories of violence. We're looking at a woman whose own father allegedly told police she confessed to killing someone. We're looking at a man whose previous wife also died from a gunshot wound under disputed circumstances. We're looking at a household where both parents slashed their teenage son's tires while holding babies. And now we have three dead bodies and no cause of death. The autopsy results are still pending. We don't know how many times each victim was shot. We don't know what firearm was used or who owned it. We don't know if the doors were locked from the inside. We don't know anything about the scene staging. What we do know is that law enforcement stated early on that they don't believe there's an ongoing threat to the public. Draw your own conclusions about what that might mean. There's also the dumpster. 3 days after the bodies were found, a woman in Fort Smith was going through a dumpster at an apartment complex and pulled out a black trash bag. Inside, photos of the Bialis family, a receipt with Charity's Bonanza address, and a necklace with the twins' names on it. She called police. Detectives came and collected the items when John Powell later mentioned this discovery to a detective. According to his account, the detective's response was, "How did you find out?" Oh, and by the way, the dumpster allegedly connected to an address of the soon-to-be ex-husband. Apartment complex. Community dumpster. Anybody could get to it. It wasn't like a private one. Little weird. All these items thrown out. Right after she's dead? I know, your head might be spinning the same way mine is too. And I'll give you some thoughts on that in a moment. As for Moto, the financial angle is weaker than you would think, because that's the place everybody else is going, well, it's the money. According to a detailed breakdown of the couple's prenup that has circulated in local coverage, in the event of divorce, Randall would pay Charity $10,000. That's it. The prenup also reportedly stated that in the event of divorce or her death, Randall would make no claim on her property, income, or estate. The house is valued at around $474,000 after legal fees, taxes, and whatever debt exists on the property. The actual amount anyone might gain from her death could be relatively modest, not exactly a fortune worth killing for. Right now, Charity's adult son, John, is fighting to finalize the divorce and administer his mother's estate. A judge has ruled that John will receive his mother's body for burial. Randall will receive the twins. Let that sit for a moment. The man who was under a no-contact order, the man Charity accused of strangling her in front of those children, is also the one who will bury them. They were 6 years old. They didn't choose their parents. They didn't choose this chaos, the violence, the accusations, the court battles. They didn't choose to be held by adults wielding knives while slashing tires of a sibling. They didn't choose to witness whatever they witnessed in that house over the years. Whatever happened on December 3rd, whether their father killed them, whether their mother killed them, whether somebody else entirely is responsible, those kids are the only people in the story who bear no blame for any of it. It's easy for us to want this to be simple. Have a villain and a victim and a system that failed, and maybe when the autopsy comes back, that's exactly what we'll have. We don't know. But right now, what we have is a case where a woman whose father allegedly told police she confessed to killing ended up dead alongside her children 1 day after losing a custody battle to a man whose previous wife had died from a gunshot wound. Two adults with documented histories or arrests for violence, years of accusations, and a pattern of mutual destruction. Two children caught in the middle, and we still don't know who pulled the trigger. Your thoughts? I'd love to hear them. The comment section is a great place on YouTube to weigh in. My only thoughts on one of the newer pieces of this case, some of the newer developments, that dumpster with all the stuff in. Hear me out. And the filing for divorce, filing to not have the divorce go through from the perspective of Randall, the ex, or the soon-to-be ex, or whatever the hell he is. Estranged husband. In no way, shape, or form do I think that everything was hunky-dory and peachy here in this relationship. Clearly it wasn't by the documented issues. The only thing that can run through my mind on this, if he had nothing to do with it, this is if you're trying to explain some sort of behavior. If you're trying to, first of all, explain calling your attorney the day after they find your wife dead and your children and trying to get the divorce stopped, certainly that would be a financial motive. Because if she's gone, she's gone. And if he didn't do it, well, yeah, you'd probably want to protect your assets. It's kind of completely out of touch with the events that are going on. Might want to take a breath before doing that. But if you are already in a relationship with somebody or out of a relationship with somebody, like it was in this case, and the two people very much detest each other, and suddenly one of them is dead, I would hope there'd be more emotion, but for some folks, they just don't have it. It doesn't mean they're murderers, but it also doesn't mean there's anything that needs to stop them from trying to protect their assets. I know that sounds cold, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. And the items in the dumpster, the apartment complex, that allegedly has a documented tie back to a place where he allegedly held residence at some point in time. There's nothing in that dumpster that was found that appears, at least as of our reporting right now, that appears to have been something that was having to do with the events of the murder itself. It looks more like emotional, you know, stuff, remnants of a relationship, pictures, items, things of that nature. And again, hear me out for 1 second. If you've ever been in a relationship with somebody on the outs of it, on the very end of it, you're absolutely horribly just, let's just say, hating each other. And I'm not saying he did by any means. I'm just saying you're just, oh my God. And you've just found out that person is dead and so are your children. You may react with some rage. You may react with, oh my God, they're going to blame me for this. She's been this whole year running around saying this was going to happen. So now everyone's going to be staring at me for this. And you may react with some rage and you may react with taking those pieces, those evidence of that relationship, not because you're trying to hide something, but more like when people go and burn their wedding dress or burn pictures. Maybe he just went and we don't even know if he did anything to do with it, though. We don't know who took those items and dumped them there. But I know the public is going down that road of thinking, well, if he did this, it must be because he must have done something to her than got rid of this stuff. I don't know. I could see that being the path one would take if you're insanely angry that you believe your wife just killed herself and your children. And if there's pictures around or whatever, you're just like, screw it. I'm throwing it all away. I can't stand to see this. I don't know. I'm not trying to give the defense. Again, he's not been charged with anything. But if he ever does need any defense, I'm not trying to give him any sort of material here. I'm just trying to run this through my head of all of the possibilities because, again, I don't know, you don't know, nobody really knows what the hell happened, especially in a relationship that is filled with this much chaos. There are so many questions to this case. We will keep covering it. We will keep bringing you the information as it develops. I want to keep hearing your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. And if you don't mind, please press subscribe while you are there. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate that. It helps other folks know that you're enjoying our reporting on the cases that we follow for you right here. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.